Genesis chapter number 32. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening.
Yes.
We appreciate the opportunity and the privilege to be here with you in these days. Appreciate what the Lord has done in the nights past and in helping our hearts, helping us. And certainly tonight's a new service. We need him afresh and anew tonight. Nights before, I've been in some wonderful meetings in the past, and I'm grateful for them. Wouldn't take anything for them, but they won't do for tonight.
Right.
That's a new service.
Right.
And I'm glad the Lord don't have to work in yesterday.
That's right.
Glad he can do afresh and anew tonight.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we as the people of God don't have to live on leftovers.
Right. Amen.
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 We do a lot of times, and it's our own fault.
Yes, sir.
Because we won't get to the table and eat fresh.
Good.
What the Lord has for us.
That's true.
And so I trust that he will prepare a meal, set it before us. I can't give you anything tonight. It'll be up to him.
Right.
I can't prepare. I can't cook it spiritually. And I can't set it before you, but he can.
Right.
I trust that he will tonight. If you'll pray for us, that the Lord will help us. Genesis chapter number 32, we'll begin reading in verse number 22. Of course, we understand that this is Jacob here. The Bible said, and he rose up that night, took his two wives and his two women servants, his 11 sons, and passed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. Jacob was left alone. There wrestled a man with him,
yes,
until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Yes. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me."
Uh-huh.
And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob."
Uh-huh.
And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel.
Yes.
For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name."
Right.
And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his sky.
Right.
Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day. Because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We read these verses here in Genesis chapter number 32. We mentioned it in passing last night and tried to make the application last night while we were preaching the message to sinners, and about this story, this account, this record in the Word of God is a type and a picture of the sinner. The sinner being under conviction. This wrestling that took place between Jacob and the Lord.
Yes.
Wasn't just any man
right
that wrestled with Jacob.
Right.
The Bible said they wrestled a man with him, but at the end of the day, when it was all over, Jacob said, "I've seen God face to face."
Right.
And so it was the Lord.
Yeah.
I want to say that it's salvation's not in a man.
Right.
That marks the world, the worldly man. It's not in the preacher. It's not in the church. It's not in the deacons. It's not in the Sunday school teacher. It's not in religion. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And him alone. There's
amen.
No one else. The Bible said that there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby
We must be saved.
That's right.
When the apostles are preaching, they constrain them and forbade them to preach anymore in this day.
Right.
It's not just the preaching, but it's the preaching and the gospel and the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God in the name of Christ that does the work still in this day.
That's right.
So this wrestling, this account of time, had a picture of a sinner. Jacob here, if you read from the very beginning, which we didn't, hope we'll take the time tonight, but if you read, he's fixing to meet Esau, his brother. His past has finally caught up to him. He's been running from it ever since the day that he stole the birthright. And Esau was angry with him. But Jacob has ran from his past. And now on this day, he's going to come face to face with who he is, what he is, and what he's done.
Right.
And he fears that he's going to meet death face to face. He said, Esau's coming and he's going to kill me. He's going to take revenge for what I've done to him.
Right.
And Esau in this scripture, though, there are many times in the Bible that at times they don't always run true.
Right.
Esau, the majority of the time, in the Word of God, is a type of the flesh.
Right.
Esau was a cunning hunter. Esau was proud and boastful in what he was able to do. But that type veers off here, and Esau becomes a type of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because by all right, we face God, we should die.
Right, amen.
Because of what we've done, because of who we are, we should die.
Right.
We do deserve hell. If God had given us what we deserve, we'd all be in hell tonight. Makes no difference who we are, where we've come from, what we've done, what we've not done, how much good we've done, how little we've done, we all deserve hell.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the fear that conviction works inside a man or a woman. Conviction is, and I'm not going to try to explain it because you can't explain it. Unless you've experienced it, you don't understand what conviction is. And by the way, if you're saved, it's because that there was a day you got under conviction.
Right.
But conviction, if you have somewhat of an explanation, conviction is, as much as salvation is, a supernatural work of God.
Right.
And conviction, really, what it is a revelation to the sinner of what they are.
Right.
And what they deserve. When God convicts a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, He turns the light on in their darkness and reveals unto them that they have offended God.
Right.
Salvation's not just, a lot of people want to take it as that, and that's all they want to take it as. It's not just to get out of going to hell. I know that's part of it. But conviction's not just showing you where you're headed, but it's showing you what you are and what you've done.
Right.
You've offended God. You stand guilty in the sight of the Holy God.
Right.
The judgment of God hangs over you. That's what brings the sense of condemnation. That's what brings the spirit of fear that goes along with conviction. When you say you're trying to fear me or scare me, and you didn't say no, that's not my job, that's the Holy Ghost's job. It'll make you afraid if you're lost.
Yeah.
Put a fear in you. Because if you're under conviction, you realize. Now, I'm not saying you'll understand it all. I still to this day don't understand everything He did when He saved me. I can't really tell you how it all came about, but I can tell you what happened. I've been saved. I've got under conviction. I've repented. But God saved me, and I'm still saved today.
Amen.
That confrontation
has
to come a time that you and God.
Right.
Not you and the preacher and God.
Right.
Not you and the church and God.
Right.
And see why it's such a good time for the sinner, for me, why I see it as such a good time and for our day. I believe it ought to be took up and preached again. It's because those faithful words that said Jacob was left alone.
Right.
Amen. Yeah.
Good.
He didn't have anybody else to lean on. He didn't have anybody to tell him what to do. It was just between him and God.
Right.
If you're going to get saved, you're going to have to do it all alone.
That's right.
I'm not saying the church can't play with you. I'm not saying there ought not be a general call and a prayer for sinners, and that we ought not have compassion and beg God for mercy. But as far as salvation is concerned, it's between the sinner and the saint.
That's right.
Nobody else. It's not up to the preacher. It's not up to the church. It's not up to the river or the baptismal pool or wherever it is we baptize these days. It's not up to the membership letter. It's not up to any of that. It's between God and the sinner. But this encounter, of this confrontation, of which was between Jacob, of the sinner, and God.
Right. Right.
He was going to forever change Jacob.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if you ever really get it, I didn't intend to stay this long here. I just thought it'd be the introduction. But I feel like staying here a little while. If you ever get it, I mean really get it, it will forever change you.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. God does not improve on the old. God does not patch us up.
Right.
God does not just put a little makeup on us and make us look a little better. But God completely creates a new creature.
That's right.
In Christ.
Amen.
The Bible said all things are passed away and all things are become new.
Right.
But we can't stop reading that. We like to take them verses and pick them and pull them out. And I'm not saying that within itself it's not still in context. I believe that's one of them verses that you'd have it respectfully or could almost stand alone on its own. But we do need to read the next verse to understand about these new things. But the Bible uses that same word all again in the next verse. It said all old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And it said, and all things are of God.
That's right.
What's that preacher? That's all them new things.
Right.
He don't take a little bit of you and puts you in again. He takes all of you out and puts all of him in.
Right.
You believe that?
Yeah.
I'm not saying we don't still have the flesh to deal with. I'm not saying we're still not faulty creatures. I'm not saying we still don't mess up. But there is something on the inside of you that is already as much like Christ as it will ever be. And God's continually working on the outward man, but it is subjection of the Lordship and leadership of Jesus Christ.
Right.
The struggle we have is not in the inward man, it's
right,
in the outward man.
Right.
But the inward man's already in subjection to God. He created, he made it. It is permanent in his sight. It's the outward man that has to die daily.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought about this encounter today. And I thought about the process. It was a process for Jacob to get to where we read about. Now I'm not saying it was something Jacob did, but it didn't just happen like that overnight. It was a work that goes on. And true salvation, I know the work itself is instantaneous. You're as much saved when you get up off the altar as you'll ever be.
Yeah.
There's a process working in you to get you to that place,
right,
of salvation.
Yeah.
And I wondered about all the things. See, Jacob had all this stuff, and before Jacob could ever get in the place. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I hope I can get the right terminology, and please don't fall out with me if you think I say something wrong. It's in my heart, right? And I want to try to tell it to you, right? I know we get off and we get hung up on this easy believism and stuff, and that's not what I'm talking about. And them taking salvation going way out in left field. Oh, but I'm going to tell you, salvation's easy.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you don't have anything to do with it.
Amen.
God has no problem saving. It's easy for him.
That's right.
But getting to the place where God can save you, that'll probably be the hardest thing you ever do.
That's right. That's
He'll break your will.
Yes, sir.
Just about snuff you out.
Yes, sir.
Before He'll ever save you.
Amen.
You say you're complicated. No, I'm not. I'm just saying there's a place, if this is a true time, there's a place Jacob had to give, but before God could have that meeting with him.
Right.
Yeah. There's a place you're going to have to get to, sinner. You're going to have that meeting with God. You say, how am I going to have to do? You're going to have to get desperate.
That's right.
Jacob stood and thought and pondered. And as we said last night, he tried to reason it out and figure it out. He had all these plans. He said, I'll send this group and that group, and I'll put these camels here and these donkeys here and these sheep here and this money here and these people here, and I'll try to buy my way into the favor of Esau.
Uh-huh.
Come on. I'm going to tell you, they've been men and women all down through time.
Go ahead.
I thought they could buy their way into the good grace of God.
Yeah. Right.
But if they don't ever have that confrontation, that meeting, that one-on-one collision, they'll die and go to hell just like every other sinner without God.
Right.
And so I wonder tonight what it is. I thought about Jacob. There were so many things that he could have held on to. He could have denied his wives going over. He could have denied his children going. He could have held on to his possessions. He could have held on to his pride. He could have held on to a lot of things. He could have held on to his past. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that God's dealing with you, but you can't get your head out of all the stuff you've done. But don't worry about that. God already knows about it, and He wants you to be better.
Right.
Yes.
Jacob had done wicked things.
Yes.
I mean, wicked things.
Yes.
Can you imagine turning traitor on your own brother by your own mother's head and stealing the birthright? We don't think too much about that in our day, but it was a big deal in that day. It meant that he would now care that it wasn't just about money and houses and land and livestock. It was about caring the lineage and the spiritual inheritance for the entire family.
Right.
Yeah. If we could ever get our minds around what Jacob really did.
Yeah.
I know that God knew before it ever happened, and I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this, if it would help you understand about Jacob's past and maybe help you identify as a sinner with what you're struggling with in your past, that if Jacob had not done what he did, that we would read in our Bible about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau.
Right.
Esau was the firstborn. He had the life of the firstborn.
Right.
And by all means, for the rest of days, we should be reading tonight about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But we're reading about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Because Jacob stole the birthright.
Yeah.
He deceived his brother.
Yes.
You say, well, Esau should have considered it greater. I know part of it's on Esau, but I'm focused on Jacob and the deceit and the trickery and the conniving of it for a bowl of soup or parts or whatever you want to call it. But Esau gave Jacob his birthright.
Right.
That's right.
Because Jacob played on his weakness.
Yes.
Yep.
Esau said, I'm so hungry, I'm going to die. And he said, what good's a birthright if I'm dead? Jacob stole it.
Uh-huh.
He not only stole the birthright. We get hung up on that, and that's a big deal. But he also stole the blessing. The blessing of the firstborn. He killed that kid and put that on his arms because Esau was a hairy man and Isaac's eyes were bad deal and bad. And he said the arms of the hair, the skin is like Esau, but the voice is like Jacob. And he didn't know, and he blessed it anyway.
Sure did.
And I was saying, when Esau came in, he said, bless thee also.
Right.
That's too late.
Yeah.
And then Esau went out and sought repentance. He couldn't find any.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what Jacob has hanging over his head. I don't know that in our day it wouldn't be about the equivalent of going out in a field because your parents had something you wanted to inherit and you knew that your brother or sister or whoever was older than you wanted it, than taking a gun and killing them so that you could inherit what they were getting. It's about what it's equal to in our day.
Yeah.
And now here you are tonight, sinner.
Right.
And you've got all that past hanging over you. And you can't get your head out of it. Quit trying to reason it. Quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to question it. If God's doing it, you love to heal them. He'll take care of all of it.
What are you holding on to?
What is it that's holding you back? It's almost like I sense tonight, and I'm not trying to say I've got some divine revelation from God, but the men of God, if we are where we're supposed to be and do it, what we're supposed to do, God does tell us some things. And I sense in my spirit that somebody that maybe was here last time that got almost to the brink, but you can't get through some wall that's holding you back, and you better let go of whatever it is and only God all this time. Holding on to your past. You say that you don't know what I've done. Yeah. It don't matter what you've done. I mean, can really what you've done, can you not know? It doesn't matter about individual sins and all that in the eyes of God. Sin is sin. And what you've been guilty of, what you've done, can you measure up to the Apostle Paul?
Come on.
Yeah. Who persecuted the church? Arrested men and women.
Amen.
Killed them. Stood consenting to Stephen's death, who was a man of God, full of the Holy Ghost. And Paul, as Saul that day, was glad to see him die.
Right.
The Bible. Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know, but what it wasn't his past. Because when he was on the road to Damascus, and that bright light shined on him, and a voice from heaven that said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he said, it's hard for me to kick against the prick. That word prick, if you study it out in its meaning, it literally means an ox goad.
Right.
That they used to drive the oxen in the direction they wanted to go. And when they didn't like the direction, they kicked against it. And that's what the Lord was saying. I've been trying to get you in the right direction, but you kicked against it. But maybe Saul knew the conviction power of God, but he couldn't get past his past and put it behind him. And let God save it.
Right.
Yeah.
Lord's been
pricking
me. Use that word.
Pricked
in the heart. Was used in the book of Acts when Peter stood and preached at Pentecost and told them that they by wicked hands had crucified the Lord of glory. And the Bible said they were pricked in their heart and said, what must we do? And you say, what happened? And they got under conviction. And God saw them of what they had done, what they were guilty of. And he brought them to repentance and saved them.
Amen.
Here you sit tonight. Now, I had no intention to preach into sinners tonight. None whatsoever, but I can't get out of it.
Go ahead.
I can't get away from it.
Go ahead, brother.
You understand that if you're here lost and God's dealing with you, what a special privilege that really is. That in on the earth, with over, I don't know the latest statistics. Last time I read, there's something like 7 billion people on the face of the planet, and out of all them people, God's dealing with you and thinking your heart and convicting you and knowing you didn't. You're a special person in his sight.
Good.
Hey. Out of all the people.
That's right.
In all the world.
Yeah.
He will choose you.
That's good.
And come to you. You say, I'm so worried about my past. God's not.
That's right.
If he was worried about it, he wouldn't be convicting you.
That's right.
He don't have any problem erasing all of that.
Amen.
As far as the east is from the west,
right.
He can lead the way. Cast it in the sea. Never be remembered on his part. That when you get saved, the Bible teaches that by faith we're justified.
Yeah,
right.
That is, in the sight of God, it's just as if we've never sinned.
Right.
That's what he can do for you.
Yes. Amen.
You're going to have to let go of whatever it is you're holding on to. You're going to have to give up. That's what it is. You go. That's where Jacob had to get to in that wrestling. That's a time of conviction. And there came a time. I know Jacob said, "I won't let go," but that's not what I'm talking about. He wouldn't let go of God. He wanted God, and he wouldn't give up until he got what he needed.
Yeah.
You can't give up,
right?
Till you get what you need.
Oh man.
I've seen people, seen it in churches I've pastored, places I've preached revivals. I've seen sinners watch them in the congregation get right up to the threshold.
Yes, sir.
You can see it on them.
Yes, sir.
You can see it in them. You can tell it in their face, in their expression, in their actions. And it's like they can't let go.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever it is they're holding on to, they just can't let go. I'm going to tell you, if you don't ever let go, you can't get saved.
Right.
If you don't ever turn loose of whatever it is that you're holding on to, it doesn't matter. Maybe you're afraid. I thought about Jacob here. He's got all these possessions.
Yes.
And he thinks, "I'm going to have to give all this up." And it may not be so much money or houses or land, but I wonder if you're worried about what you're going to have to give up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To get saved.
Yeah.
What kind of changes?
Yeah.
You're going to have to make. I'm going to tell you something. There ain't no changes. He'll do the changes.
That's right.
Amen. If you'll just forget all of that and quit worrying about all of that and let Him change you, it will change you.
Right. Right.
Too many people focus on what they have to give up. I'm going to tell you, if you do have to give up anything, it will pale in comparison with all that you've gained by being saved.
That's right.
I never have heard anybody that has been saved by the grace of God has stand up and tell and bellyache and complain about what they had to give up to get saved. But they're glad for it. The Paul said, "I got it as well."
That's
good. But I may wear a tie. You say, if I get saved, I can't live the life. You're exactly right.
That's right. That's right.
But if you ever do get saved, you'll have a liver move on the inside of you.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
And heal your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Exactly right.
Jacob could have held on to his pride.
Right.
Said, "I got the birthright."
Yeah.
I got the blessing. Matter of fact, I see a little bit. I don't know if I'm seeing it right.
Yeah.
I see a little bit about verse number 10 of Jacob's pride coming out. And he said, "Now God, you told me that my seed would be a new nation." You told me that my seed would be as the stars in the sky and the sand by the shore. Jacob could have held on to his pride.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you what would have happened. Then the same thing that happened to old King Agrippa when Paul stood before him and preached the gospel.
Yeah.
And Paul, as a man of God, saw conviction, I believe, in the heart of Agrippa.
Right. Sure did.
And he said, "Oh, Agrippa,
Yeah.
Believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest.
Yeah.
What Paul was saying is what I'm trying to say to you. You're right there. You're at the door. You're at the head. Just give it up.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And Agrippa said the most horrible words just about ever uttered in all the Bible. Almost.
Yeah. Hey.
Now persuades me to be a Christian. I'm going to tell you something. Almost saved. He's still altogether lost.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a lot of people standing at the judgment bar of God one day, and they're going to think that saying, Lord, I almost got saved, is going to change his mind.
Yeah.
He's going to say, depart from me.
Amen.
He that work iniquity, I never knew.
Yes. That's right.
Are you holding on to your pride?
Go.
Are you holding on to something? You better let go. Let go. You got it all mapped out and planned out in your mind, and you think this is how it's got to be and going to be. Jacob had it all planned out. He said, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do this, and then everything will be okay. But it didn't go as Jacob planned.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. You can sit in your seat tonight. And I'm not being mean or harsh or critical or arrogant. I'm preaching out of a heart of love.
That's right.
You can plan all you want to plan. But it's never as you plan.
That's right.
Old Naaman went to Elisha. He had it all planned out. And when it didn't go like he planned, he got angry. He said, surely I thought. See, there's more to it than you think. And his servants. Now, I'm just one of them servants tonight. You're sitting there saying, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Not them servants said, Master, if he would have asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? What they said was, if he'd asked you to do what you wanted to do, would you have done it? Naaman said, oh, yeah. He said, well, then how much more if he just said, go wash and be clean? And I'm telling you something, Sarah, tonight. There may be a way you want it to happen in your mind, and you think it has to happen. But if the Lord's speaking to your heart and telling you what to do, it's not about what you think you've got planned. You have the way that ought to go, but it's about how God's dealing with you.
Amen.
Just do what He says.
Amen.
They got to the wedding in Cana that day, and they run out of wine. Jesus' mother said they run out of wine.
Right.
He said, woman, what am I to do with thee? My hour has not yet come. And she, I know there's some things we could criticize. I know about all that. But she sure did get it right. She turned to them workers, not missing a beat, and said, whatever he says, do it.
Yeah.
In other words, what she's saying is, if you want to get what you're needing, whatever he tells you to do, do it, and he will.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you tonight, sinner, it's not about what I say. It's not about how I love Brother Mayo, but it ain't about what he says or any other person in this building.
Amen.
But whatever he says,
amen.
Do it. Now I'm going to tell you what he'll say. He'll say, repeat it.
Yeah.
And believe.
Yeah.
You say, I can't. That's right, but he can.
Right.
And he'll bring you to repentance. He'll give you the faith to believe. And he'll birth you in the family.
Amen.
Yeah.
If you meet his requirements.
Right.
I can't tell you what God is going to do tonight. But I just know on the authority of the gospel, if you meet his requirements, he will save you.
Amen.
When's in his time? And I'm telling you tonight, the drawing power of God spoke to your heart. Pulling on you. Tugging on you. What are you holding on to? You better give up.
Right.
You better give in. You better turn to Him.
tonight could be the last night. If tonight was the last night, would you be content to go out the door just how you are? If you knew tonight would end it all, would you be happy meeting God just like you are? If I wasn't, I'd come talk to Him. If He was drawing on me, I'd do business with Him. Is your heart right with God? Is it well with your soul? As we stand all over the house, some praying, others probably need. Would you come? It's not my ability, not even my not my ability. It's not my right to give you an invitation. But if the Holy Ghost has invited you to come, would you come? Would you come? Just do what He said. Obey the gospel. See what He'll do.
Wow. need.
And I don't know anything else. I know the Spirit of God is here.
Yes.
I don't mean was here.
He is here.
Is here.
Yes.
I know His presence by now. And He is here.
Indeed.
He is here. I think I want to sing one more song. Let's just turn right to 111. Just go right there. Something that they believe the Lord would have them say. Is anybody? Is everyone's heart clear?
Yeah.
If all hearts are clear,
yeah,
dismiss with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask the other brother, don't you know, Brother Thomas, if you'll dismiss us with a word of prayer.
Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the message. Father, it's been a blessed week from forward. Father, it's right there in one spirit. I hope everybody has a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You are dismissed in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Your spirit has been raised.